Welcome back to church, and today we end the series on eternity. And I hope that in the last 3 weeks that you have been thinking of issues concerning your life here and in relation to eternity, or at least those messages would have triggered off some thoughts that you think that you need to deal with, because all of us are journeying in this life and we all deal with some issues at one time or another. And eternity is a big topic. And eternity is all that we have at the end of the day. Amen? So we started off, or I started off the series. You want something? I started off this series of showing you guys, or at least for those who have been here, showing, just ignore them, okay? Just ignore. Just, they're invisible for now. That raffia string that represent our life, remember or not? Yes. This is a very crucial topic, and unfortunately, I have a huge bulk of people missing again this Sunday. There's so much movement lately, and I'm praying that for some, how God will just schedule us so that we don't have to move so much on the weekend, so that we can get the most out of coming together as celebrating the weekend together and celebrating Christ together and digging into His Word together. Hey, pay attention to me lah. Not there. There's nothing to see. So one white cloth only. So remember, I place different people of different ages along that raffia string, and how much time and effort. If you miss church on a Sunday, then just log online and listen to our podcast so that you get a continuity of what we're talking about. So this is just for the benefit of those who were not around. We talk about eyeing the end. The end meaning to say eternity. And then we have Josephine, the pregnant lady here. And then we have Ashton, the child. We have Zach, a bigger child. And then we have Jason, sitting for SPM, so important. And then we have Termin, a young adult in his prime years, have full of dreams. Because the 20s, those in the 20s, so we're just talking to some 20-year-olds recently. It's your prime year. They say no, past prime year already. Prime year meaning to say that you have dreams of what is to come. You know, your career, what you want to do, you know, the money that you want to earn, who you want to marry, how many children you want to have, your ideal family, your ideal vocation, your ideal home, your ideal house, your ideal car, and so on and so forth. And then you come to John, who is 40 and coming to the midlife. And I say this time we don't call it midlife crisis. Now there's a new term called midlife transition. Ooh, sounds nice, right? Because at 40s, you are all stabilized, people like me. We more or less know what we want or we already gotten. But 40s is a transition because we're looking for more than this. What else? Like Pastor Ed said, what else? More than this. What else? And you come to my father's age, a little bit closer to eternity. But we spend so much time preparing our life on earth, or preparing that child that is to be born, for all these things. We calculate our costs and we put in so much time and effort into that, but we actually ignore a huge part, and that is the forever and ever. You know, all fairy tale fantasy ends with, and they live happily ever after. Forever and ever. Life don't always end that way. But if we have Christ Jesus, that is the forever and ever that we're talking about. Heaven. Eternity is what we're talking about. That is the forever and ever that we need to know, we need to understand, we need to embrace, because that is where we are heading forever and ever. Amen? And so as we end our sessions on eternity this week, I'm a bit short. Can you put down for me? Today, I'd like to talk about the very, my come short lah, but never mind lah. It's okay. And so, the last thing now, we can talk about eternity forever and ever, right? But the last one, as we end today, if you are taking notes, the title will be Planning Our Exit. Planning Our Exit - Embracing Heaven. So we talk about embracing heaven. We want to determine how we live now. We want to live now so that we can enter heaven with peace. And just to recap, in all the last three sermons, we talk about how we need to live a life that's worthy of our call so that we have no regrets. We want to finish it strong. It really doesn't matter how we start, but it matters how we finish. And we got to finish it strong. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, finish strong? Yes, finish strong. We want to leave a legacy at the end of the day. What sort of legacy you and I want to leave behind? You know, today, because of time, we don't want to do that. But we're actually thinking whether we should actually do a Bible study or a class itself, a few weeks of classes just talking about death, you know. And some of you have gone through Pastor Ed's sessions on leaving a legacy, and he will make you guys design your tombstone and write on your tombstone what you want your sons and daughters, wives and husband, to write on your tombstone. The first time ever when I did the exercise, I really hate to think about death. Who here, who in this place right now, love to talk about death? It's a taboo word in many background, family, races, faith. Death is a taboo word. We don't talk about death. Okay, it's even for the Chinese, you don't even write the number 4 because it's say. You know, it's like even in the leaf, you don't put 4, but you put 3A because nobody will want to buy any house on the 4th floor because it's the death floor. You know, so people don't like to talk about it. But while we want to leave a legacy, God has given us a life as a gift, and we want to enjoy this life to the max that God has given to us. And when I say about enjoyment of the life, I'm not talking about be merry, drink and get drunk, that kind of life. I'm talking about meaningful life. I'm talking about wholesome fun. And God is a cool God. Don't box him up as much as you can think. He can even think further than you. You think you are cool, he's cooler than you. You think that you have the greatest idea what it means to have fun. God is a fun God. He's not a joy killer. As long as it's within the boundary of the principles that he has laid down for us for our own good. Amen? God doesn't draw principles, rules, and regulations for the sake to kill our joy. Those boundaries are his discipline so that we have fun on earth in this life safely, enjoying every bit of our life. But the moment we cross boundaries, we hurt ourselves. But a lot of people, we are all still, or once upon a time when we're young, especially young people, when as you grow older, you begin to see life very much differently. Every decade you will see life very differently. But when you're young, you just want to rebel. You just want to rebel. As long as a line, I just want to cross it. I want to push it how far I can go. True or not? Yes, sir. Very honest. I like you. Honesty. Right? As long as I draw a line, you want to push further your line. But God wants us to embrace and enjoy life. And God wants us to embrace the fellowship of being together as a church family. Now, Ephesians 5:16 says that we are to make the most of our days because the days are evil. Because the days are evil. And that's why we need to make the most out of every opportunity that's been given to us in life. And we are to be watchful. Jesus asked us to be watchful because evil is all around. So that is just to lump everything up that we were talking about in the last 3 weeks. And Pastor, I gave us a challenge. Now that you know what heaven is like, our ultimate home, then what? And I hope that question has triggered off and sparked you in the last 3 weeks to think about your life, then what? Now that I know heaven, how heaven looks like, then what? How do I want to live my life? What do I want to do with these little years that I have? You think 70, 80 years on earth is a lot? 80 years seem so far away when you are young. But when you reach 80 and you look back, it's like, whoa, it's so short. It's gone. When my mom was in her 30s, I thought 30s were very old, you know. I was just telling her, I thought were very old. A lot of you are 30s, right? I used to think, oh, my mom 30s, very old already. But now that I'm in my 40s, I realize that life is so short. It's so short. I had my first kid 18 years ago. It's like, boom, that's it. Gone. And so today we want to discuss about death. Something that you don't like. Something that I used to don't like. But I'm thinking a little bit more because maybe I'm getting closer to the end. But death do not recognize age. Yes. It doesn't mean that the older person, he will die sooner than you. No. Death does not recognize age. And it's one appointment you and I have to be certain to keep. It is sure. It is sure. You cannot escape death. And so the sooner you talk about it and understand it, the better you are. And so today, if you're taking notes, there are 3 C's concept of death that we want to talk about. And we want to talk about coping with the human emotion, which is real. And lastly, we want to talk about closure in our life. So the concept of death, now making sure that we are ready for that appointment, number one, is we have to remember the certainty of death. Number two, we have to remember the control of death. When, why, what, where, how is not in our hands, but it's in God. So, number one, certainty of death. Now, Ecclesiastes says that there is a time to die. It is written in the Word of God. There is a time to die. I'm just a student. You're telling me there is a time to die. Now, other faith inflict fear regarding death. They don't talk about death. But Christianity is a journey which begins with the topic of death itself. True or not? Because I remember coming to a glimpse of what it means to be a Christian. I was asked the question, where do you go after you die? So if you have yet to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and friend, I want to ask you a very important question today. Where do you go when you die? I was brought up in a Taoist family, and I was taught that when I die, I go to hell. And there is no possibility I will be able to get into heaven, because heaven is a place where the immortals stay. Not for human beings who die, but only immortals. So we watch all those Chinese films that talk about the 8 immortals, you know, flying in the sky. And I always think, oh, I'll never ever go there. My place is in hell. And I used to be so scared when I see pictures of hell or Hades, because it inflicts so much fear upon me. It's a hopeless world, because at the end of the day, I'm going to hell. But as I grew at the age of 19, when someone asked me, where do you go after you die? And I thought, I'll go to hell. But the good news came was, if you know Jesus Christ, you will not go to hell. Because the Bible says that God so loved the world that he do not want any one of us to perish. But if you were to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be given eternal life. Eternal life is life forever and ever. It means life in heaven. And heaven is not the clouds that float around that every picture tells us, but heaven is where Jesus Christ is at the end of the day. And Christianity projects to us, introduces to us death as an appointment that you and I will have to keep up, and yet assuring us the beauty of death itself. There is nothing to be fearful because we have to meet death one day. It's nothing to be fearful but to embrace it. Yeah? And death is a good thing. Why is it a good thing? So, Kamesh, help me. This is just so for people who need visual aids. There's no drama here. Somebody asked me, are you having a drama? None. So, this represents our life on earth. And this table here represents the death bed. And this is a very common, just pull two chairs and stick it. It's a very common representation of a death, dead body, but it's not necessary so. But this is what I do in nursing when I was in the hospital working. At the end of the day, when a patient died, we wash their body and we cover them up. And so this is just to represent a dead body. And then heaven is there. And you may think, why is heaven so small place? Huh? Actually, heaven is eternity. You know, I cannot create anymore. I cannot create. Or rather, I have really big trouble to really let you see what is heaven, because it's supposed to be a surprise. You know. So what is death? Death is a good thing to us. After this life on earth, it could be 70 years is the common, normal age for now. But if you read into Old Testament, people live 900 over years, and then slowly there's a decline, 800 over years, 700 over years, 600 over years, and it comes down to our generation, 70 years. If you live to 70 years, you have already reached your max. Anything more than 70, we call it bonus. God already gave you bonus on earth. Yes? So, it could happen when the baby is still in the mother's womb. That's called stillbirth. And I've seen a lot of stillbirth in the hospital. Like I say, death do not recognize age. And you wonder why. Why would God allow a baby to take shape in a mother's womb and then the baby die? It could be on the day the baby was delivered. I've also seen patients who deliver and a baby died. It could be the baby grew up a little bit. I've nursed a 4-year-old who had cancer. Handsome boy. And the baby said, oh, you're so handsome, so kasihan, I have to die. Handsome only to die. Whether you're handsome or ugly, or beautiful or ugly, you have to die also, you know. A lot of times when people die, a lot of times you hear, wow, so beautiful, home, like, like, why die? Oh, so handsome. Like handsome or have beautiful, so you have to die one. 4-year-old cancer patient is very heartbreaking. It could be the day before your wedding. I've read many stories of such. It could be you just got married, the dream of building your family. When I had Ashlyn during my confinement month, I had a high spike of fever, and my husband thought I was going to die, potential death. But he never tell me until I recovered, because he was struggling with God. If you were to take my wife away now, what would be my response? What would be my response? Will I say, God, you are good? Or will I be angry with you forever? Because we have just begun. It could be any time. Sometimes death is predictable, sometimes it's not. But death for us who know Jesus is a door to heaven. This is a passage to eternity. And that's why I want to talk about this death. Some people call it a good thing. So death is a process, is a passage, is also a now. So it could be a moment that we're talking about. It could be a process that we're talking about. It could be a passage that we're referring to. But it's a very important segment of our life. Are you with me? Father, I want to ask God that your Holy Spirit will come right now as I hide behind the cross to speak on this subject. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will impress upon our hearts so deeply about life on earth, life eternal, and that link which is death. And we want to be able to embrace death as we embrace life. And I pray your Holy Spirit will speak to us, teach us, convict us, and free us from all sorts of fear and anxiety in Jesus' name. Amen. So number two, the control of death, when you die, why you die, how you die, what happened is not in our control. You can plan everything in life. You cannot plan death. You can't say, I want to die in Paris. Unless you have a, of course, unless you have a disease already and you say, I don't want to die in Malaysia. I see, also want to see in Paris. Then, of course, you fly there and then you die there. That's a different thing, okay? But what I'm saying is we have no control over death. It is in God. God is in charge. And we must have a good perspective and the right perspective of death. Because Philippians 1:21, let's look at that. This is one of my favorite verse because it's so easy to memorize. It's so short. And I want you to memorize it. It's so short. It's so powerful. It's so impactful because it will impact how you live your life on earth. Because Paul says to the Philippian Christian, for to me is, I mean to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul exhort the Philippian Christian, says, to live is Christ. What does that mean? It means that why we are living here is because of Christ. So that our lives is driven by this very cause, the cause that Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ came to die for us. He came to die for us. He came to be the ransom for our sin. And after he left, he wants us to continue this good work that he has begun on earth so that others will know him. But Paul says, so if you want to live, it has got to be everything about Christ. It's not about you and I. It's not about your ambition and my ambition, your desire and my desire. Although God says in Psalm 37, or is it 34? 37. That he delights in the desire of his children. As long as you're walking right with God, God delights in your desire. Like I say, he's not a joy killer. He wants to give us. He wants to love us. He wants to lavish upon us because he's a good, good father. But not when we are selfish. Me. Okay? And to die is gain because what Paul is saying here, you are gaining the glory of eternity. Oh, this is something so hard to grasp because what is eternity? What is heaven? And that is what we've been trying to paint the picture in the last 2 weeks in that little bit of drawing that picture to you. We have a hard time. I'm not sure about Pastor Han. I really have a hard time because I'm like, God, give me a glimpse of heaven. But then it's like, no, it's a surprise. No one will know. No one will know how heaven really looked like until we are there. And it's a ta-da, this is heaven. Surprise. And like, I like what Natalie puts it. If I'm planning a surprise for my children, she says she doesn't want to spoil it. She doesn't want to have a sneak peek. Then it's killed the joy. You know what I mean? So if God keep it from us, let it be kept a secret. So that when we arrive on heaven one day, and we go, oh my goodness, this is the real thing. Are you with me? So, Please memorize Philippians 1:21. That should be our perspective of death and life. Let's read that together. 1, 2, 3. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Close your eyes and say that. Again. Amen. And I pray that you can say this with conviction, that to die is gain. What do you gain? You receive the glory of eternity. Number two, coping with the human emotion. Now, having said all that, that death is good, death is inevitable, death is a must, yet we cannot run away with coping with our human emotion, because God gave us emotion. We feel. Do you feel? Or you're numb? Because if you're numb in your emotion, something is very wrong. So, coping with emotion, there's three things that I'd like to talk about. The process of death, number one. Number two, surrender. Number three, letting go and grief. Now, when we cope with our human emotion, when we talk about the process of death, I was just having this discussion over our boiler on Friday, talking about a recap on eternity, and I asked the question, what are you really able to say, I'm not afraid of death? Who is ready to say, I'm ready for death, I'm ready to die, I'm not afraid of dying? Who's ready? I'm not ready to say that too. Actually, what we are not ready is the process of death. One of our boiler team members say, I am not afraid to die, but I am afraid of the process of dying. True? That is the words of my mom exactly before she died. We had some talks every now and then when I'm alone with her. And I say, are you ready? Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you ready to go home? She said, I'm ready. I've been ready for a long time. She says, I'm only not ready for the suffering. She said, that is the only thing I'm afraid. I'm not ready. I'm not afraid to die. She says, I'm just afraid of the suffering before that moment of death. Correct? Why? Because many of us are scared of the process versus the death moment itself, because it's just natural. It's the fear of the unknown. Nobody know how this passage looks like. Do you? Nobody know how the passage of death looks like. Nobody know how it feels. And everybody is very scared of the suffering, inverted comma. And so it's very natural to have some sort of fears. And mainly, when I talk about suffering and fear, we are talking about the pain of that process, right? How does it feel to go through that physical pain? What will I do when I'm going through? Can I cope with it? How intense will it be? How am I going to bear with it? There are those questions that are real that go through. The emotional pain. The dread of leaving behind our loved ones. Especially when a young mother dies. You are leaving behind young children. And those fears are very gripping, because you're thinking, who's going to raise my kids? Will my husband remarry? Will the stepmother be like the Cinderella stepmother? Wicked one. You know, all those things are very real and cross people's mind. A father leaving behind his family. Who's going to raise my kids and wife? What's going to happen? So the dread of leaving behind. And I read one story. It says that it's best that we don't possess so much possession, so that when we die, we don't have to dread leaving behind all our money and possessions. But if you are not so rich, it's okay lah, because you have nothing to worry, whatever that you leave behind. Because some rich people, they dread to go, because just in case their family start internal conflict over inheritance. How many family fight over inheritance when the rich father dies? So those are very real things. dreams that you leave behind that you didn't complete or fulfill. And sometimes we say, there's so much, there's in fact too much to live for, that I cannot afford to die now. I'm too young, I can't afford to die now. I have still dreams. Yes? How many times I ask the guys, they say, no, I haven't even got married. How can I die now? These are real. So the process of death, the pain that comes with it, that we are afraid. And no one can guarantee us that it will be painless. No one can guarantee us that we will not have suffering. And we're talking about if you have an illness or a long-term disease. But what if death is unpredictable? The next thing, you go out, you're banged by a car, you're dead on the spot. And all your family has to greet is you in a black bag in a hospital mortuary. There are many cases like that. It's not always predictable. Death is not always predictable. And so we have to be ready for the appointment anytime, anywhere. Yes. And so for those who know Jesus, you don't have to worry. Because even if it happens when you walk out of this place, you're absent in the body, you're present with Christ. Psalm 23 verse 4 assures us that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God says, you do not be afraid because I will be with you. And this is the exact words. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod, your staff, they comfort me. And I spoke of this illustration over and over again, but it's one of the most powerful illustrations for the process of death that happens to my own grandfather many years ago before I got married. We were praying for the right timing because I have a conference in Genting to attend. And it's one of those youth conferences that I really wanted to attend. I've been praying that, Lord, you take my grandfather home, who is only a two-month-old Christian. I said, take him home at the right time because I want to go to the conference, but yet I want to be there for him at his deathbed. And I prayed very hard, but God just make it happen so beautifully. And so just before he died in GH, at 4 a.m. in the morning, he called my grandmother in. And he says, he's so happy because there's this group of Christians dressed all white to come and see him. And my grandma instantly know that it cannot be church people because number one, he only came to the Lord 2 months before his death. And he hardly know anyone because he hardly went to church. He went to church once to receive Christ and then he was admitted. And then he prayed hard. He got discharged. He went back to get baptized and then he re-admitted. So he probably went to church 2 times. So my grandmother said, there's no one who really know him who will want to visit him at 4 a.m. in General Hospital, Penang. It's not going to happen. So my grandma sat there at 4 a.m. in a hospital. She knew instantly it was the Lord Jesus Christ and his angels. And my grandfather says, it's so beautiful. You're all so beautiful. And he died peacefully after talking to my grandma. And when my grandmother called us and arrived, I was just in time to wash his body. I requested for the honor to wash his body. And the nurses say, okay. And I just felt like, whoa, God, you just blew my mind away. You did not just make it happen so that I can be at where he is and wash his body, but you actually grant him a visitation. Yeah? I'm not saying that everybody will have the same kind of encounter and experience before you go, but God promised that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with us. He will comfort us. Because that passage is an unknown passage. But the word of God tells us that I will be here just to receive you and walk through with you. And so we can be afraid, but we need to channel that fear back to the cross of Jesus Christ. Psalm 139 remind us that where can we flee from his presence? Because he says, even when I make my bed in Sheol, Sheol represent the valley of death. Sheol represent darkness. God says, I will be there. Amen? So what do we do when we think about the process of death? God, am I going to be ready? Am I not going to be ready? Will it be painful? Now the answer is trust him. We just got to trust him with that process. That to walk us through that process of preparation of death and then the passage that link us to heaven. Some of us may not have such preparation because death can be sudden. Yet, trust him. Some people say, I wish. Actually, most people say. My mom said, I wish I just closed my eyes and then I don't get up in the morning and then I slipped into heaven. I say, everybody wants that. Everybody desires that. Yes, but it doesn't always happen that way. But God knows best. And Romans 8:31-39, let's look at that. Because that passage, Paul tells us that nothing, including death, can separate us from the love of God. Let's look at Romans. Let's read together. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For I'm sure. Paul says, for I'm sure. And I pray that you are sure too that neither death nor life will separate us from the love of God. Amen. And so we need to rely on the grace of God for the process of death. Because his grace is sufficient for us. Amen. His grace is sufficient for us. We cannot plan our death. We cannot plan the timing. We cannot plan where, or maybe where, if it's expected death, then you can do that. But we cannot really plan everything about our death. But we can only trust God for his perfect, beautiful timing. Like it happened to my grandfather and my mom and everybody else that I know who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can rely on his providence of grace. His amazing grace. Grace is a big component of our trust in the Lord. That we will be ready when the time comes. It's no point being anxious now. I tell you a secret. Actually, no more secret. Penny used to be very scared of death. When she's more little than you guys, when she was small. She can be up on the bed. She can be playing, talking. And suddenly she jumped down. Ah! I don't want to die! I don't want to die! I don't want to die! And then I will be like, why? Why? I don't want to die! I don't want to die! I don't want everybody to die! I don't want the family to die! It was an oppression of the spirit of death. And the spirit of death is as real as the spirit of life. But those who walk in the spirit of the light will be able to overcome the spirit of death. And so the Lord deliver her and Christ in her. She no longer do stupid things like that anymore. Because she always jump out randomly at home and everybody got so scared because she was just so oppressed by the spirit of death. And in preparing for today's message, I know that God is going to work in a while. I know that there is something that God wants us to deal with today. And throughout the week, the Lord has been protecting me against the spirit of death. I have many close shaves this week, just on the road. Almost hit by cars and bikers that come from T-junction that doesn't stop. And it's so close. And it didn't occur to me that it has to do with my message today. And I've not been sleeping well. And I've been attacked at night. Having the spirit of death coming after me and choking me. And I'm telling you this real thing, not to scare you, but to tell you that there is something that God wants to do today. And just as I went through that, my girl says, Mom, do you think there's anything to do with this message? It didn't occur to me that it was until last night. I went through a very intense attack. I couldn't sleep. And I knew that God wants to do something today. And I pray you will open your heart, you will open your eyes, you will open your ear to hear the voice of the living God. Because some of us are oppressed by the spirit of death. And death has no place in our lives. Amen? And Jesus promised that if you know him and call him friend, he will protect you. He will defend you. Not just life on earth, but life after, which is heaven. Amen? So number two, surrender. In coping with this human emotion that we cannot disregard, we need to surrender. As we say, God, I give you my life, we also must say, God, I surrender my death. Surrender death. We don't talk about surrendering our death. We talk about surrendering our life. What we do, how we do life, what we're going to serve him, our call. But as much as we surrender our life, I want us to say, God, I surrender my death. Meaning to say, I will not fear. Even when death meets me, I will not fear. I will embrace it as the end of my life on earth, as a link to eternity. Amen. Now, it's crucial for us to understand death for ourselves. Why? And also for the people around us. So that we have the urgency of the gospel. So that we know that death is as real as life. And we need to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. So that we will have as many people to go to heaven instead of hell. And for us to understand the process of preparing for death so that we ourselves can be ready and we ourselves can also provide a platform of exhortation and encouragement to people around us, in particularly our family and our church family. And it's very crucial as we journey with them. And planning our own exit in life is as important, as crucial, as essential as our planning our existence in life. Yeah. Why we want to talk about death? So that we ourselves are prepared and we can help each other as a family of God. Because at the end of the day, who can help us understand this whole process? Who can journey with us? It's our family who know Jesus Christ. And some of us don't have family who know the Lord. And that's our church family can journey with us. And like I say to the boiler team, it's the most beautiful picture. And my mom's deathbed, just the day before she died, no, 2 days before she died, the boiler team was there just praying, just worshiping with her, just partaking the Lord's Supper with her. And she couldn't get up to partake of the Lord's Supper. And Emmanuel was the one feeding her the Lord's Supper. I told Emmanuel, you are so privileged. You know, it is a privilege. It's an honor to walk and journey with the person through that death passage and hand them over to Christ. Do you know that it's an honor? It's nothing to be afraid. It's an honor. And I'm so glad that the Lord called me to be a nurse many years ago because I have the privilege and honor to usher many patients from here to heaven. It's an honor to watch them go in peace. Number three, before we go to number three. So as we plan our own exit and the exit of the lives of our loved ones, remember Psalm 139, the psalmist says, search our hearts and our anxious thoughts. So if there is any anxiety in us, any bit of fear in us, search our hearts and our thoughts in the presence of God and say, God, I have this fear of death. I have this fear about the thought of death. I have this fear of the process of death. Deal with me, Lord. Search me, wash me. Deal with me. Number three, letting go and grief. Now, grief is a normal process in life. As we talk about life itself, we grieve over many things, right? Some of you have a crack in your handphone. You grieve for many days, right? Yes. Thank you for your honesty. Right? Some of us lose something precious. We grieve. You break up with your boyfriend of 1 month relationship. You grieve. Like the end of world already. Everything is crumbling down because you just broke up with your boyfriend. 1 month, you know. Painful, you know. Grief is normal. And so when somebody dies, the deep feeling of that loss is very deep, is very cutting. And there's different dimension when you lose a good friend. I remember when I passed out first year of my nursing, we were full of dreams. And my good friend in my batch, 1 year older than me only, I was 21, she was 22. And she died. After our night duty together, we left home. She went back to Ipoh. I went back home, of course, here. Then she came back and worked. And I was still on leave. She came back. She fell sick. She went into ICU. I had chicken pox and I couldn't visit her. My sister in charge said, you're not going to come to visit your good friend. You have chicken pox. You cannot enter ICU. I begged her like crazy. She says, no, you can't. So the last time I saw my friend was a night duty together when we say goodbye and happy Chinese New Year. And I never saw her ever again. I grieve for a long time because I'm like, God, she hasn't known Jesus yet. That's my first grief, of course. But I didn't even get to say goodbye to her. I didn't even get to see her when she was sick. I didn't even get to pray for her. I was so close yet so far. Do you understand? I'm in Penang. How far is the hospital? It's only 10 minutes away. I remember calling my nurse in charge and say, please, sister, please let me visit her. Please. She said, no, you cannot come. You cannot come. And I was crying like mad over the phone. Because I lost a good friend. A friend that journeyed with me in the 3 years of nursing. We have our dreams. What we want to do after that. And that's it. But on the bright side, the last time I saw her, she was all well and good. I remember her in good shape. And it was very difficult to go back to work because we shared the same locker. Because we were the most junior nurse in the ward, so we didn't get... We don't have enough locker, and so both of us had to share one locker. It was difficult going back to work because every time I opened that locker, her things are still there for a while until it was cleared off. And so I would stand there, look at her cap as I put my cap on, and I'm like, it's my friend. When I nursed my mother-in-law at her deathbed, I prayed so hard for healing. Until one night the Lord came and said, stop praying for healing. She needs to go. And that changed my perspective. I saw her suffering. I saw her bleeding. And then I began to pray that God take her in your time. I pray that she would die. Can you pray for somebody to die? Yes, of course you do. I was just telling the boiler team, sometimes we go hospital visitation. All of us want to pray for healing, right? How many of you go to hospital and pray that somebody die? Sometimes you do. Because sometimes you really need to discern if the time is up. I have a friend who is a pastor's wife. She says, I have the gift of praying for people and then they die. I laughed when she told me. I really laughed. And then I thought about it. I thought it is really true. Because sometimes people are already dying. Time is up. And you're still like, heal, heal, heal in Jesus' name. But God says, I'm ready to take her. The time is up. So this lady told me, my friend says, people who suffer cannot die. She says, I go there, I lay my hands, I pray that they will die. The next minute, they die. She said, that's my gifting. And we need some of this gifting too, right? Because when you cannot die, like it's suicide, you know. Correct or not? You don't know, of course, because you're living. So, we cannot disregard that when you lose something special, when you lose someone special, the grief process is inevitable. And so we cannot ignore. We cannot go to a funeral and tell people, stop crying, she's in heaven already. Why are you crying? Hello, she's my mom. What do you mean? So, a human emotion. Grief takes time. And time is a great factor in the healing, and complete healing of grief takes 2 years. And that's why we always tell people, if you break up in a relationship, don't just clam kabo go and find another boyfriend, another girlfriend, because total healing takes 2 years. We were discussing about death and eternity in Boiler. From death and eternity, we talk about relationship. Suddenly, we talk about sex. Suddenly, we talk about raising kids. There's so many things. And then we laugh. We say, yeah, because everything you do in life will lead you to eternity. When you talk about that and look back, it's all about life. So come to Boiler. So interesting, right? So, 2 years. If you're not healed, you jump into another relationship, you bring all your baggages of that grief, and then you grieve the other person. And then you break up, and then this person go to another person, this person go to another person, and then you bring all these double baggage into your third relationship, and the same thing happened, and it goes on and on and on, and then you come back, and finally you get married one day, and you bring all your baggages into your marriage. And then everything crumble in a marriage, and then you ask, why? Why does this happen? We walk through many people in counseling session as we trace back. It's those baggages of grief, unresolved grief. You have not let go of the pain. And so you take the pain and you transfer from one relationship to another. And then you get yourself in deep trouble and then you blame God. So it's the same. In all relationships, we need about 2 years. The same with death. When we are mourning for a death person, it takes about a year to feel okay, but it takes about 2 years to think back and be completely okay. Meaning to say, to think back and not shed tears anymore. You may feel sad, but it takes at least 2 years to come to the point. I couldn't sleep last night. And then suddenly think about death. And then suddenly thought about my mom. And suddenly I cried in the middle of the night because I miss her. It's normal. So I just let my tears roll. And say, Jesus, I miss her. But I know she's good in heaven now. So it takes 2 years for that tears to drop. For the pain to ease. But no matter how many years, I have a mentor in the U.S. She's 70 plus. She says, Selena, my mom was taken back to be with the Lord 40 over years ago. She's 70 plus years later. She says, I still miss her. You will never stop missing your mom. But I take comfort. Then you see, so when you lose someone, it's not, you don't have to like crack your head. How am I going to get all this torturing feeling? Grief has to take place. Grief has to be allowed to take its natural course to heal. And we people, whether it happens in your family, in your church family, or your friends, journey with them, allow them to talk. Allow them to talk about their fears, their anxiety, their regrets, their desire. And when the person is preparing for death, we must allow them to talk about the preparation of death. And part of it is funeral. My mom-in-law planned for her funeral very beautifully. She tells me exactly what she wants to wear. She tells me what, everything. She's a very organized person. So she organized her life before she exit. And I learned from her. She planned everything out and she said, okay, this is my goal. Give this to who? Give that to who? This is this dress I want to wear when I die. And then put makeup for me. And I did that for her. So let them talk. And don't hide and don't suppress. Because when you do that, it's not healthy. And even as we help my mom to journey, it's not easy when it comes to your own mom. I suddenly feel like, well, talking to my mother-in-law, journeying with my mother-in-law was different from journeying with my own mother. You know, it took me a while to come to that place of telling her, are you ready? And she said, I am. I said, what do you want to do, Samo? She says, nothing else. So my mom is a very simple lady. So she says, no more, no bucket list. You know, she says, I'm done. I'm ready. Anytime God comes, I'll go. I'm just scared of the suffering. And so I assure her boldly. I say, you'll not suffer, Mom. We'll pray that you'll not suffer. And God grant us, not to say she completely don't suffer, but in the human eye, she looked like she's suffering. But again, my doctors who are Christians says, don't worry. You know, when patient, when they go through in the last stage, we give them oxygen. It's for the living, not the dead, you know. It's just to pacify all the relatives. The nurses and the doctors are doing something. Put the nasal prong there and let them have the oxygen. Actually, they don't need, because their system already shutting down. Their lungs cannot absorb the oxygen anymore. So that is more to pacify the living than benefit for the dead. But it's very hard, right, for us to see somebody lying there at their dying bed and like, right on. We feel like we have to do something. We're compelled to do something. And so the doctors and nurses give you oxygen. No? But actually, it doesn't do anything more. You can't absorb. And they're in a semi-conscious state. They don't really know the suffering. And praise be to those who know Jesus Christ, that our spirit is safe and secure in the Lord. The Lord is just there ready to take that person back. And so we need not fear. And I'm so glad I have Christian doctors friends around me in this last stage with my mom. They keep telling me, the different ones keep telling me, it's okay as you watch her. Just remember the Lord is there. You know, she's not suffering. She's with God. And it's okay. It's fine. And talking helps the dying person to face the reality of death. Because sometimes the person who is dying actually wants to talk. But we are the ones who are not ready. We suppress them. But sometimes it's the other way around. We want to talk, but we don't know how. Right? A lot of you is like, what do you really talk to a person who is dying? Eh? Do you ever, you like see it? Or? You're going to die, you know? Like, what kind of words do you use, you know? Pray for discernment and wisdom. But sometimes a person doesn't want to talk. But sometimes a person want to talk, but we don't want to listen. And so we have to learn, as children of God, to allow the person who is dying, or if you are the person who is dying, we talk. So I told my kids, make sure you don't try to suppress or hide. If I'm going and dying, please talk to me, because I need to talk. I need to tell you what to do. I need to talk. So talking helps the dying to face the reality that I am going back to heaven. And it helps them to be excited to meet Jesus. And not be afraid, but excited to meet Jesus. And for the loved ones to ease into this talking so that we can let go. So that we can gradually let go. Because when we don't let go and we hang on, we are actually not benefiting the dying. We have to let go so that the process is eased. Now, there was one pastor, I read this article, there was one pastor who needed to preach in a prison one day. And before he preached, he said, I want to visit all these inmates in the prison and interview them. And so he went to the death row. You know what's a death row, right? And so he interviewed one. A lot of those in the death row, they spend a lot of time watching TV. What else is there to do? What dreams do you have some more? You're at death row, right? But this particular guy, I forgot his name. It's a real story. The pastor asked him, why are you sitting here reading? Do you want me to, so-called, give you a gift, like donate a TV, you know, for his room? So that, because for death row, they have a certain criteria, they have to come out and watch TV for a while, then they go into the cell again. And he declined. He said, thank you very much, Pastor, but I don't need a TV. It's a waste of time. What was he reading? He was reading the Bible. Day in, day out in his cell, he was reading the Bible. Why? Because he told the pastor, I need to know Jesus more, and I need to know what it is going to happen when I meet him soon. So I need to prepare myself to meet my Jesus. I cannot afford that sort of time to waste my time on that square box. Isn't that powerful? He was preparing himself, getting himself ready to meet Jesus. And that is the intensity of faith, that we're talking about in preparation for death. And the pastor was like, wow. So what do you do in talking about the whole process of death and coping with it? Again, we look to God. Read the Bible, worship, and pray. If you are the dying person, get yourself ready. I want to be ready when my time comes. If you're helping someone else, sometimes don't talk too much. Don't need to scratch your head. What to say to the dying person? Don't have to. A lot of times I visit my mom in her dying stage. I don't know what else I talk. And I keep asking, do you have anything else to talk? And you know my mom's very quiet. She says, nothing to talk already. But I wish she can talk. She would talk more. But she's not the talking time. You know, she says, nothing to talk. I'm like, nothing to talk already. I feel like, talk some more, you know, talk some more. I don't have that much time left for you to tell me more, you know. So she said, nothing to talk. And so I would sometimes just sit there and turn the Bible, read to her, pray with her. She'll be just quiet and I'll just pray with her. So sometimes don't have to talk, because at the end of the day, how many words we say cannot comfort a person compared to God's word. Words are not enough at that stage. Let's look at John 11, Lazarus' account. Some of you may be familiar with Lazarus. And Lazarus has two sisters, Mary and Martha. So now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciple, let us go to Judea again. The disciple said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying this thing, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. Now in the Bible, sleep is likened, the analogy for death. Because Charles Spurgeon, the preacher of preachers in the 1800s, says that death is sleep in Jesus. Death is sleep in Jesus. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. So Thomas called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Highlight is the two last verses. Jesus asked, do you believe this? That even though when we die, we shall live. And dying is sleeping in Jesus. Of course, for this particular case, he did this for Lazarus to rise again for God's glory. So it's God's sovereignty and prerogative whether he heals or he allows death to take place. But at the end of the day, we must understand that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And so if we say we believe in him, even when we die, we shall live. Believe. That's a very powerful force. Do you believe? Do you believe? The last point, closure. When we talk about death, we must have a closure. Number one, every season has a beginning and also has an ending. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. King Solomon wrote this in the book of Ecclesiastes. And I love this portion of the Bible because it talks about having a season and a time for everything. Ecclesiastes 3. Because of time, I'm going to read so that I can run faster, okay? For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What gain has a worker from his toil? I've seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better to them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is already has been, that which is to be already has been, and God seek what has been driven away. Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness. In the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. I say in my heart with regard to the children of men that God is testing them that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. For what happens to the children of men and what happens for the beast is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath and man has no advantage over the beast for all is vanity. All go to one place. All are from the dust and to dust all return. For what? Who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward and the spirit of beast goes down into the earth. So I saw that there is nothing better than a man should rejoice in his work, for there is his lot, who can bring him to see what will be after him. Now, Ecclesiastes, King Solomon said, there is a season and a time for everything, including death, including weeping, including mourning, that we don't like to talk about. Verse 2 says, there is a time to be born and a time to die. Verse 4 says, a time to weep, a time to laugh, and then mourn. Verse 11, he says he made all things beautiful in his time. And eternity is planted in man's heart and mind. We are made for eternity. We're not made just for this earth. Verse 17 says, everything in life, God timed it. Everything in life, God timed it. There is a timing to everything. Verse 19 to 20 says that there's one breath of us and all at the end of the day will go to one place. From dust we come back to dust. Secondly, when we talk about closure, the second one is very essential and is crucial. Closure is essential and is crucial. Now, sometimes there is no closure in cases of death. For example, some of you may know my Gary cousin died at the age of 23, 7 years ago. He was 23, he was on a bike. He rode a bike out of Rifle Range Flats. At the turn of the corner, the bus Geylang banged him. He has no external injury. He was hit and run. And a passerby came and took him to GH. And in that morning, on that morning before he left the house, he had a big argument with the mom. Now, Gary is a Christian who backslided. He stopped going to church for a long while after that. And he had a big argument with the mom. He left home. And so by the time my uncle went to GH A&E, the emergency unit, all he heard, and he never saw the son alive. All he heard at the emergency unit was, "Sakit! Sakit!" That's all. And he went. Because he had very bad internal injury. He died in GH with the curtains closed, with the parents not having a closure, no last words. Now that is very deep sorrow. That is very painful. Especially, they had a conflict in the morning. There's no resolution of that conflict. And then you meet with death. Where is God? What's God up to? It took a long time for my auntie to resolve that issue because it brought a lot of pain and it brought a lot of regrets. And we need to allow grief and mourning to take place, whether the loved ones that have been left behind is prepared or not. And we need to focus. We must shift. So there needs to be a closure for the one dying. So we need to speak forgiveness before the person dies, if you have a chance. We need to speak forgiveness. We need to speak love. We need to speak comfort. We need to speak assurance if we do get the chance. That is the closure so that they can go in peace. But for those who are left behind, we need to have a closure too. We need to shift our focus to God, the source of our comfort and all our solutions and answers. If things like that like happened to Gary's case, it's very hard because at that point of time, my auntie and my uncle now is not a Christian. My auntie became a Christian after the funeral and she fainted so many times during the funeral week. The giver of life is God. The answers are found in Him. And the verdict of death is still God. It can look as if, oh, this accident, this is the enemy's attack. But God always, even in unexplainable cases of death, turn every bad thing into good things if we allow Him. Amen? And we must make peace with ourselves, with the diseased person, and God, and the circumstance around us. We have to make peace so that we have a good closure and move on. Because you must understand, if the dead person is already reunited with Christ, they no longer look back and be worried about you because they are enjoying the glorious eternity. Are you with me? Because you can't compare heaven and earth. They are not bothered anymore. So we, those who are left behind, we need to resolve whatever issues we have with God, with ourselves. Sometimes it's us. We have regrets. Things we never say to the dead person. We never release forgiveness. Or we didn't come back in time. When my mother-in-law died, or rather just before she went into a comatose state, I was very tired. And I told her I'm going back for just a short while to shower and have my meal and come back. And she grabbed my hand instantly. Just before I walked away, she grabbed hold of me. She says, "Don't go," because she knew that her time is up. I said, "Okay," because it sounded urgent. I said, "Okay, I won't go." And I was so glad that the Holy Spirit really made me obey. Don't go. I didn't say, "I'm very hungry. Let me eat first, then I'll come back." I didn't go. Because the moment I stayed, she went into comatose. And then the doctor, now if I had a free hand, I would say don't intubate her because her time was up. But she was hanging on for one person. She was hanging on for her daughter to come back from the U.S. So the doctor intubated her, put her in the ICU, and she's already in comatose, but her heart was still beating. So death is only pronounced when your heart goes zero, right? And so she hang on. She hang on for her daughter to come back. So that is for the person dying. Sometimes they have all their last wish. So they have, somehow just before you die, you have that tenacity to hang on for that one thing. But if everything is up, they will go. And that's why we say to make that passage easier for them to transit, help them to resolve all the issues so that they won't hang on anymore. Because the hanging on make them suffer. The suffering is prolonged. So how do we make peace with ourselves and God and circumstances? Philippians 4:6. Let's look at that. Paul encourages us to think of good thoughts. What else can you do? The person already died. A lot of people hang on for many years with unresolved issue with death. And we need to take charge of our mind, because our mind is a great battlefield. Our mind is a powerful place where good thoughts can brew or bad thoughts can also grow. Philippians 4:8-9 says, Philippians 4:6, my life verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Paul says, don't be anxious with anything, but in everything. So including death, if it's everything, what are we to do? We are to pray. We are to present all our supplication with thanksgiving and let our requests be known to God. This is a very powerful verse. If you are like me, a worrywart, I used to be. I'm getting better now because this is my life verse. I've been memorizing, eating this verse over the years. Over the 20 years, I've been eating this verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, come before the throne of grace. Kneel down, present your request to God, and say, God, this is my case. Deal with me, deal with it, make your request known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and my heart, your mind and my mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. So receive that peace from God if you have unresolved issues. Take charge of their mind. Philippians 4:8-9 says, think good thoughts. Finally, Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, let's read this together. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and let the God of peace be with you. Amen. I pray that you will have good thoughts, that you will think all those lovely thoughts and discard all the negative thoughts, including death. Resolve those issues. If you have issues with death yourself as you plan your own exit and feeling scared, ask God to clothe you with good thoughts. Or you have unresolved issues with those you have parted ways. Also, in the same line, ask God to give you good thoughts. Remember the good memories and discard the negatives. Choose not to dwell in the sorrow. We need to grieve, let grief take place, but we cannot sit in the rut of sorrow, but we need to look ahead, because the dead is dead, gone, alive with Christ in heaven. But we, those left behind, we still need to live out our life worthy of our calling. We still need to mind our business here on earth until we meet Jesus. And we need to look ahead with new beginnings, because God is always doing new things every day. Every day. Every season. If we believe what King Solomon says in Ecclesiastes. Every season. So, can I have the worship team up? And I really believe that God wants to do something in our heart today, all of us. Whether it's looking at death, our own death, issues that we have to face, thinking about our own death. Are you afraid? Are you ready? What goes through your mind when you think about your own death? What if you die tomorrow? Thinking about the death of those that you have parted ways. Are there unresolved issues, conflict in your mind, in your heart? So I pray that you will remember and have the right perspective as you look into the concept of death. And that you will remember that as human beings, we have to cope with the human emotion in regards of death and helping people. And lastly, that we must always pray for a good closure with death for ourselves and for our loved ones. Let us rise. Father, we search our hearts in your presence right now. Death is not an enjoyable topic to talk about in our life, God. But we know that it's inevitable that death is part of life on earth. That at the end of it all, God, this is the passage that will link us back to heaven to see your face, Jesus. Father, I thank you for those of us who have salvation in Christ Jesus. That we stay assured that, Lord, we need not be afraid. Because you will walk with us, you will walk through with us that passageway. That we will not be afraid of the spirit of darkness nor death. But we will embrace it as a door to eternity. But Father, even in our midst today, for those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Father, would you come and touch us? Remove every fear of death that's been inflicted upon your people over the years. Bad experiences with death. Bad experiences watching people die or talking about death or images of death over social media, over the videos, over movies or even books that we have read. Father, we want to ask that you will remove all of these images that is distorted and ask God that you will give us faith. Faith to believe, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you speak to God yourself? What are the issues that you have with death? Whether it's your own exit or it's your loved ones.
Father God, we come before you and we want to ask of God once again that you will refresh our spirit. Lord, cause tired spirits to be renewed, Lord, right now. Those of us who are tired right now, we ask, oh God, that our spirit will be renewed. Lord, you know our hearts. Refresh us, Lord. Father, those who are afraid right now, Father, we ask, oh God, that your grace would come. Lord, we pray that your spirit will not let us go. Lord, that you would struggle, that we would be ready to contend with you, O God. Do not let us go. Those of us who are fearful, Father, we ask, Lord, that your spirit will come. And Lord, that the weight of your spirit will come upon our lives. Lord, even as we walk away from this place, Lord, the weight of your spirit will come upon our lives. Lord, the conviction of your Holy Spirit will come strong upon our lives. Speak to us, Lord. Do not let any one of us go. And do your work in our lives, Father, we pray. Do your work. Lord, we thank you that your love, your care is upon us. You love us more than anyone could ever love us. Help us to realize that, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. And so, Father, we surrender our lives to you afresh. Yes, God, we surrender our lives to you afresh. And we ask that your peace would come and fill us. For this we pray. We pray, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.